The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 29th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Kenneth Edward Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Boy, it's a beautiful day. A little bit, you know, misty here in Sonoma County, but glad to be alive, glad to be on the radio. I have three special guests for this show. Joining me in the studio are a mother and daughter team, Robin Latham and her daughter, Erin Latham Ponick, who will be talking about an up-and-coming march that's happening, Rise. It's called Rally and March, called Rise Up and Make Some Noise. I like that. Rise Up and Make Some Noise. Also joining me in the studio is our newly elected Sonoma County Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Register of Voters, Diva Marie Proto. We'll be talking about the up-and-coming election, and she's going to give us some voting tips. Remember, we go to the polls on November 6th, and for those of you who mail in your ballots, the sooner the better, get them mailed in. I encourage my listeners, do not wait till the last moment. I work the polls, and I notice people come in with these mail-in ballots, and they put them into the box, and oftentimes they're not counted right away when they get to the voter registrar's office. So it's very important that you get your ballots in as soon as possible. Well, I have a few announcements to make. It looks like we're going to be having the 26th Annual Latino Health Forum that's going to be happening at Sonoma State from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. That's going to be on November 1st. Can you believe it? It's going to be November. Actually, this is the last Monday of the month, and we're going to be doing the pledge. Also, we're going to be talking about this march and rally. It's called Rise Up, Make Some Noise. It's going to be happening on November 3rd. They're going to gather at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock, they're going to march. And rumor has it that one of my favorite people is going to be speaking there, Starhawk, so it's something that you do not want to miss. Another thing that's happening, and I want to encourage people to mark this on your calendar, on Saturday, on Saturday, November 17th, from 5 to 9:30 p.m. At the Peace and Justice Center at 467 Sebastopol Avenue, they're going to be having their winter blast, and next week I hope to have Shekinah Black, their coordinator, on to talk about this wonderful annual event. I believe this is their third event that they are putting this one on. Well, I don't know how to put this, but my heart goes out to the people in Pittsburgh. What a horrendous thing when I think about it. You know, this gunman walking into a place of worship, a synagogue, screaming, kill all the Jews, and then taking out his gun, an AK-15, and shooting 11 people and injuring 6, and 4 of them were actually law enforcement. My condolences to all the families. You know, the big question that has been going on in my mind ever since I heard of the shooting is, what is going on in our culture that there's so much hate in people's hearts that they can actually go and just shoot somebody, go into a school, go into look what happened in Las Vegas, somebody standing on a roof shooting all these people, and now here going in a synagogue, killing 11 people who were there on a Saturday morning to worship. Whatever their belief was, they came in as a ritual to praise and to pray, and something like this happens. We as a country, we as people, we have to ask ourselves that question. What is it that is creating this? You know, we can blame it. We can say, oh, it's his fault. It's Trump's fault. It's so-and-so's fault. You know, he said, we can fault everybody and everything that we want, but we still have to answer one basic question. What is it? What is happening? What is creating the mindset that somebody can do that? And the thing that was the most shocking to me is, I mean, I recognize that we've had horrible shootings in our country. Horrible. You know, but there have been marches. We have Black Lives Matters has organized, you know. And in the back of my mind, for some reason, I always thought, you know, we're Americans. We're going to work this out. We're going to figure this out. We're going to stop it. But now, when this situation happened, you know, maybe I'm too versed in the Holocaust. But when I hear that, that kind of hatred, I say to myself, this has gone way too far. And we better start looking at it, and we better start asking that basic question. And we all have to take responsibility. You know, one of the things, I was looking at the flyer for this this march that's happening on November 3rd here in Santa Rosa. And it said here, vote November 6th like your rights, not your life, but your rights depend on it. Well, I'm going to add something. Your rights and your life depend on it. Because there's an attitude in this country that we have to look at. And as women, as mothers, as grandmothers, and me, I'm a great-grandmother. I mean, Jesus, three generations. I mean, this fourth generation, I mean, I really feel responsible. We have to start looking, and we have to start asking questions. This is not tolerable. You know, and the big question is, do we want to live in a free country or not? You know, I like my freedom. I like that I can do pretty much what I want. You know, but if we're not careful and we don't start looking at these things, things are going to change. And I don't like when I think about some of the changes that could happen. I mean, one of the things about studying the Holocaust, one of the things it told me, it showed me how far human beings can go to what they can do to one another. So we really have to be careful and be aware. Well, that's a lot to think about. But as I say all the time, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. We've got to start thinking as women, and we have to start standing up. How many times do I play that song by Ellen Bookstale? By my silence, I give my consent. If you say nothing and do nothing, then you're saying, hey, it's okay the guy walked in and killed 11 people. You know, hey, that's cool. No, it is not. And the least you can do, the very, very, very least you could do is vote. And even lesser than that is mail those ballots in. Don't let them sit on your kitchen table. Get them in as quickly as possible and pay attention to who's running. Local is very, very important. You know, people ask me, they say, why do you say local is important? Well, you can see personalities. You can see how these people are going to go as they go up the ladder. And let me tell you something, as they go up the ladder, sometimes they get more and more disappointing. Very interesting phenomena. Anyway, today is the last Monday of the month. Yikes! Where did October go? Well, we were real busy this October. In fact, I was really excited. I went up with my sister Evelyn on last Thursday, and we saw our little Satori. My goodness, she gained 4 pounds. I love being a great-grandmother. You know, it's a lot easier than being a grandmother. You just have to observe and enjoy. You know, as a grandmother, you've got to do a lot of work. Anyway, last Monday of the month, it's time to do the pledge. And you know, I wanna go over something really quickly with everybody. And that's how we end the pledge. You know, we end the pledge with the word higher power. And it was very interesting. A friend of mine we were on the phone discussing that one day. And she says, you know, higher power sometimes triggers people. You know, they think too much maybe of Alcoholics Anonymous or other things. So I want to explain higher power. I want to explain what I mean by that. To me, the higher power is that higher, that voice that talks to you. That's one aspect of it. You know, where you give yourself advice, good, strong advice. Another aspect of the higher power is just look at, we live in the world. You know, we're in a planet in the middle of the universe. There has to be a power greater than us. It's just moving this and moving it and making things happen. And I like to think of a higher power as the great mystery, the great miracle of life. I mean, there's all kinds of connotations. And you can go blank. You can say blank and put whatever you feel is your higher power. And if you do not have a higher power, don't say anything. the most important thing about this pledge for women is that we have to raise our self-esteem so we can speak out. For far too long, women have heard the word shut up, and that time is changing. And that higher power is that self-esteem that you build and that you grow in yourself. So what I welcome you to do when I say that part, put in whatever resonates with you. Please do not attach to two words, higher power. It only means something greater, something outside of yourself. It could be, look at, here's a higher power. We're going to have a march, a group of people coming together and protesting their power. They're showing a higher level. They're trying to express something. Very important to think about it that way rather than put this deep, deep, whatever kind of connotation we have on it. So let's do the pledge. And the most important thing, I want to emphasize that again. I wrote this for my grandson when he was 6 years old. And he came out of the nursery and says crying. And he says, they said he was a bad boy. And he felt horrible. He was crying his eyes out. And I looked at him and I says, Ryan, your self-esteem does not depend on anybody else. And that's how this whole pledge started. And when my grandson graduated Santa Cruz University and he was coming down the hill, he recited that to me to let me know that this little simple pledge actually helped his life and help him to move forward. So, and then when I wanted to have a signature say, you know, I mean, women's spaces, people remember it. But the most important thing is to remember that it's your self-esteem and your ability to speak out that makes changes. So let's do the pledge together. I invite the folks in the studio to join me. I'm going to say it once. You repeat after me. And whatever you want underneath higher power, put it in, please. Anyway, here we go. The Women's Spaces Pledge. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power.
And you know, sometimes when a higher power is your friends. You know, my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and those good friends that are surrounding me. So there's all kinds of ways that you can use that expression. And for those who are really bothered about it, blank, put in whatever you want. So I'm going to say it, just listen to it, absorb it, and think about it. And remember, by your silence, you give your consent. Here we go. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Very powerful statement. You know, I got to throw something funny. I used to say, and what the whatever. That was, or the great woohoo. That was a real funny one. And I also used to say great spirit. And it was really interesting when I said great spirit, people confronted me and says, you know, it sounds a little bit too much like Native Americans. And I go, oh my God, higher power is it. Let's just leave it alone. Anyway, one more time. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And guess what? I read it 5 times before I come on the air. Well, that's a lot to think about, you know, and I'm looking forward to, we have some wonderful guests coming up, and we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing is a Bob Dylan song. And as most of my listeners know, what I try to do is find these classics sung by women. And I found this great, great group called the Brothers and Sisters singing The Times That They Are A-Changing. And when we come back, we'll be talking with mother and daughter team, Robin Lathan and her daughter, Erin Lathan Ponick, who will be talking about letting us know about their activism and also about the march that's coming up. Rise up and make some noise. Here we go with The Times They Are A-Changing. A Bob Dylan song sung by the Brothers and Sisters.
Come together around people wherever you are.
Boy, I sure hope so. You know, we got to change. We got to make some big changes. For you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first two guests. Welcome, Erin and Robin.
Hey, Elaine. Hi, Elaine. Thank you.
Oh, it's a wonderful having you. Let me tell our folks just a little bit about you, if that's okay. Is that okay?
Please. Sure.
Both Erin Latham Ponick and Robin Latham are longtime activists, with Erin's mother and father taking her to demonstrations and vigils in the early 80s as an infant. As a mother and daughter team, they are organizing the upcoming Rise, Make Some Noise rally and march. After protesting locally during the Kavanaugh confirmation process, Erin felt inspired to do more and felt like the pre-election timing was a perfect opportunity to organize a march and rally, which will happen in Santa Rosa on November 3rd. Part of Erin's story is she helped organize the Books Not Bombs while in high school. Robin presently is the Echo Wears librarian for Green Mary, a company dedicated to greening your events, which we will talk about. Well, welcome, Robin and Erin. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, thanks for having us here. It's great to be on the show.
Anything you'd like to add from what's anything, anything?
Well, I guess I don't want to leave the other parts of the family. We dragged both our kids to demonstrations when they were little. And, my ex-husband Barry and I did activism from about the time we got married in 1981 and still are both very active. And I think it really rubbed off on Erin a lot. She really has become an activist in her own right. And this is a proud moment for me as a mom to watch her do this.
Thanks,
well, you
Mom.
Know, it's interesting. You've had a little bit, 1981, that's a good 40 years, I'd say, give or take a few. Where did you get your confidence, and what was your inspiration, Robin, for becoming an activist and going to the point where you actually brought your children to protest?
Well, my father was a political science professor, and in his Republican family, he was the black sheep Democrat. And he dragged me to political things, mostly partisan Democratic Party things, like candidates speaking and stuff. And I think I went to a La Raza rally when I was, 10 or 11 or something. But because he was in the college community, my father's politics rubbed off of me. And then when I met my husband, he was involved in Sonoma Atomics, which was the anti-nuke group in Sonoma County at the time that was very active, right about the time of Diablo Canyon and Bodega Head, and he rubbed off on me that way, and I got involved in politics then and was inspired. And I guess I got my confidence from the women I was around at the time, Judy Berry, Darlene Commingore, Mary Moore. There was a lot of really strong women in the community, and I was friends with them, and I think that gave me a lot of confidence.
You know, talking about Mary Moore, I read this morning in the paper that all her paraphernalia and all her records are going to be archived at Sonoma State, which is amazing. So if you're listening, Mary, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Anyway, Erin, what about you? I mean, here you are. You went with protests. I'm sure, from what your mom says, that you it rubbed off on you, because here you are in high school and you start this program called Books Not Bombs. Talk a little bit about that, and where did you get your confidence to do that?
From my parents, definitely, and the community at large. I'm very lucky to have grown up in Sonoma County and been surrounded by pretty iconic activists my whole life. In terms of the Books Not Bombs demonstration, that was just myself and a group of students, all young people around the same age, that were, I want to say that was around the time of the second Iraq war, and we were just feeling pretty freaked out and frustrated and, needed to voice our feelings.
I love that. Books not bombs. Foods not bombs. I mean, if we get rid of bombs, I mean, we could have so much. I mean, I can't believe $641 billion going to destruction and death. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me.
No sense at all.
You know, I remember when I met the two of you when we were doing the Harmony Festival. Boy, those were the good old days.
I remember
Erin was just a young girl, and I was so impressed with you. So I'm so happy you're here and working with your mother to organize this wonderful, wonderful march.
I'm working with her, actually.
Oh, okay.
And just to be fair, if my father were physically capable, he'd definitely be here, too.
Yeah, he would.
It's amazing. That's right. Your mom's working for you. We got to remember that.
Let's remember that.
Yeah, I actually tried to bail because I got this horrible cold, and I was like, Erin, I don't have the energy. I don't think I could do this. And she's like, no, we're doing it.
Let me ask you, Robin, you work with Green Mary, and you're her, it sounds like you're her, you keep her records or you organize her records. Can you talk a little bit about what you do and who she is?
Mary, who was born out of the Harmony Festival because of Julia Butterfly's inspiration to make the planet a greener place, and events are very wasteful. More trash is created at an event. When we get together and have a big party or a festival, we create a lot of trash. And Julia Butterfly pointed that out to Mary, and Mary got inspired to make the Harmony Festival more of a zero-waste event, and she started greening it. And greening means reducing the trash, compost, and recycling as much as possible, and especially sending as little as possible to the landfill because, you know, there is no Planet B. Our trash stays here with us on our planet. You know, unless we start sending it off to space, we're going to live with all our own toxic waste for the rest of our lives, and the future generations are going to pay. So Mary's company, Green Mary, she's one of the biggest greeners in the North Bay area. She does all these public events where she goes in and they set up stations and tell the vendors and the production people what to do and how to do it the best green way. The EcoWares Library, which I do, is just really a sideline. It's not really even a job. It's more of a service to the community. Mary created a library of real dishes so that people don't have to use paper or plastic. So we have real silverware, real plates, real bowls, real cups, real ice chests, everything you can imagine, coffee makers, napkins, tablecloths that we let people borrow for basically like a $75 service fee. So nonprofits in this county borrow those from us. And basically, they live in my garage. So I am the librarian of all these things, which Mary got tired of taking care of because she's busy running her business. So that's what it is.
You know, it's really interesting. I remember when Green Mary became Green Mary. I mean, it's wonderful that we have this beautiful history together. I really appreciate it.
Well, then the GE Free campaign, too.
Oh, right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I remember that one. That was amazing. And the Green Party. Oh, I mean, I remember one of the things that I remember, the big thing of the Green Party was getting those wine glasses with the Green Party on it. Anyway, that's just a memory.
I don't remember that one.
Anyway, why don't we go and move into, let's talk about the Rise Up Rally and March. You know, what inspired that? And tell me what you hope to accomplish and what people can do.
Well, I think the inspiration came out of, you know, there were some women in the county that wanted to do some demonstrations or protests during the Kavanaugh confirmation process, and I got an email from Julia Rapkin and Heidi Fanticone and Susan Lamont saying, hey, let's do something, and we started doing something. I think the Democratic Party called for one day. So there was actually a demonstration every day for a week at either the Federal Building or Courthouse Square and one in Sebastopol. And Erin and I were at the main one, which was the National Call to Action one, which was Thursday at the Federal Building. And Erin got up and spoke, and she was really moved. And I think maybe
I cried.
She cried. But I think you should tell them what you said. Because it's really inspiring.
Oh, geez, I might cry again.
It's okay to cry.
You want me to tell
it?
Thanks.
Cry. Go ahead.
Well,
I've been crying all week.
Oh yeah, I think on a national and global scale, a lot of us are crying. I feel very personally affected by what's happening right now. I can gratefully say that I have never been a victim of any sort of assault beyond, you know, the basic catcalls or, you know, whatever. But I regretfully can say that so many of my friends have, to an extent, that's sort of appalling. I, in my early 20s, kind of did a mental count, and about 8 out of 10 of my friends had been assaulted. And just to be clear, most of those were family members or very close family friends, not strangers, not because they were dressed a certain way or at a bar late or had had too much to drink at a party. It was all people they knew. And that, it just, it hurts my soul. It's not okay. And when we, I think my mom said at the last little march that we were at a rally that, you know, raise your hand if you have been or you know anyone who's been assaulted, and every single person there raised their hand. And that just, I mean, that's just, it's not okay. And so the inspiration for this event that we're putting on is just basically that that's not okay, and we need to talk about it. We need to come together and have community and raise awareness, and, you know, also that we have a lot of other issues to touch on as well.
Well, you know, you said something very important, Erin. You said it's not okay, and it's not. And the good news is that it's coming out, that we're able to talk about it. You know, at one time, you know, one of the most interesting things that came out, particularly with the Kavanaugh experience and with Dr. Ford, was the idea that you never forget when something like that happens to you. I mean, that was very, very interesting to me, because I remember, because I had an issue with myself, and I could tell you the exact, every little detail about it. And I all of a sudden recognized that in myself, that I could remember. And that Kavanaugh issue really brought that out. And it's not okay. So you decided, after you got so touched, and it sounds like it really went deep, and also it sounds like your caring nature and also your friends, I mean, all, it was a very personal thing to you. You decided that, hey, we're coming to an election.
Yeah.
We better get together. We better rise up, start making some noise, and you decided to organize this. So what did you do? Did you talk to your mom? Did you talk to Robin and say, hey, come on? And she said, well, I got a cold. And you said, too bad?
About a week ago, yeah, that was the case. We have actually only been planning this for about a little over a month, and I just said, you know, I need to do something bigger. I need to really bring people together, and I wanted to do it before Election Day, because while I don't subscribe to partisan politics very much, I do think that it's an opportunity to sort of get out the vote, whichever way you vote, that it's important to remind people to do that. And I believe that we actually have some people tabling at the event that will have information on some of the issues that will be on the ballot. And that's important, too, is to be educated.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, and I want folks to know that if all of a sudden you forget or your mind goes blank about when the rally is, there's two places you can find out information. One is to go on the Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. We'll have the flyer, and also, as you know, I'm president of the National Organization for Women. We also have the flyer posted on our website.
Thank you.
So people can see and find out information. And is there any other place?
Yeah, we also have a Facebook page. You can look up Rise Up, Make Some Noise on Facebook.
It pops right up.
The Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County is our sponsor, and they have it on there. Probably on their website, and also in their email updates that they send out, as well as, I wanted to say one more thing, is the reason we called this demonstration Rise Up, Make Some mm-hmm. Noise was because of the Lindsay Lab video where she sings the song. It's a scary time for boys. She took Trump's quote and she did a ukulele song. You can go online and look up Lindsay, which is spelled Lynzy Lab. It's a great YouTube video of her playing ukulele and singing this great song. She was also on the Jimmy Kimmel Show live, but it's a great song about sort of the times, and that was the reason we named this Rise Up, Make Some Noise. We took her quote out of her song.
Well, you know, We're coming to the end of the segment, and there's some other things that I think that are really important that we need to talk about. But unfortunately, we're not going to have the time that I would like to do to give it the time. But what I'd like to kind of address before we end the segment is what do you see as the future for young women? I mean, with standing up and speaking out, I mean, what is the goal? I mean, as a young woman, Erin, what would you really like to see? If I could give you a magic wand and you could wave it and say this, what would you like to see in our country and in our community here in Sonoma County?
That's a wonderful question. I want to really quickly share a quote that I heard on the radio a couple weeks ago where a woman said, anger can be catalytic and connective. And that really resonated for me because I am angry, but I don't want to direct it in the wrong way. And so I want to use our collective anger for something positive. And in terms of young women today, I think that a lot of us, especially younger generations, take our rights for granted. My generation was born post Roe v. Wade, so we don't know what it's like to fight for the right to choose. We didn't have to fight for our right to vote. And I think it's really important to make sure people understand that if you don't stay vigilant in terms of protecting your rights, that you might lose them. So I hope that young women and all women and all people will vote like their lives and their rights depend on it. And I hope that more people will just get involved in community.
Well, you know, I want to tell my listeners that this is the first time, Erin, that you're on the radio. And I have to say that I am so impressed about, it's particularly what you just said. I mean, it gives me, you know, becoming a great grandmother to a young woman, you know, a little girl, right. You know, all of a sudden thinking of what's ahead. You know, the idea of women like yourself that are coming up, you're also a parent yourself, are coming up in the world gives me hope. So we're at the end of our segment. So what I would like us to do is let's have any last words that you'd like to say and also give us the website. Let's talk again about where it's going to be and what time it's going to be in the date.
All right. We hope we're going to see you all this Saturday, November 3rd, Courthouse Square for Rise Up, Make Some Noise. It's going to be a fun time. It's a march and rally. Gather at 10. March at 11, we have the Hubbub Club, we have music, we have speakers, Becky Fine from the Powerful Voice Project, we have Starhawk, we have Magic reading some poetry. It's going to be an informative time. There's a lot of local organizations there tabling. You can get informed as a voter. We want to see you there. We support you. Come and support this. Let's be, in all our diversity, let's create some unity right before the election. It's going to be a great time.
And also to remember, by your silence, you give your consent. And here you have a chance to rise up, make a little noise, and say, no, this is not acceptable. Go ahead, Erin.
I just wanted to add that we really very much wanted to make sure people know that this is an all-inclusive march and rally. It is not just women. It takes a village. It takes all of us to make real change. And so we hope all women, men, any non-binary, whatever you identify as and whatever you believe in, that you all come out and rise up.
We have our flyers in Spanish and English on our Facebook page. Please disseminate and pass the news.
You know, when you talk about everybody coming together, when you get to know folks, it's not scary. You know, mm-hmm. When you get to know people of color, you realize you could be no transgender people. You just begin to realize just people with different ideas, different thoughts, different way
Absolutely.
Of being, but we can still all come together. So let's give that website one more time.
Our Facebook page is Rise Up, Make Some Noise. And you can also check out the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County's website and Elaine, the Women's Spaces.
Yeah, we've got it on the Women's Spaces, and we've also got it on the National Organizations for Women's website and Hopefully we got enough out there so people can gather.
Thank you, Elaine.
Well, I want to thank both of you, and I want to thank you for coming together. And once again, Aaron, you know, I have to tell you, you know, the future's in your hands, my love. You know, we're stepping out.
Well, I'm a
out,
mother.
You know,
and I got to
thank goodness
protect the world
that you're
for
here.
My children.
And thank you, Robin and Barry, for taking her to rallies, because it certainly has rubbed off.
All right.
Well,
thanks for having us.
A special thank you to mother and daughter, team Robin Latham and her daughter, Eric Latham, Ponnet. Mark your calendars. Remember, it's November 3rd, which is this Saturday. Make some noise. Rally in March, which is going to be happening on November 3rd, like I said, at the Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing is one that I love. It's called Vote by the Citizens Band. And when we return, I will be talking with our newly elected Sonoma County Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Register of Voters. Oh, my God, what a responsibility. Diva Marie Proto. We will be talking about the up-and-coming election, and she's going to be giving us some tips. So here we go. Let's listen to Vote by the Citizens Band. My goodness, that was it. It just shut off real quick. Well, welcome back. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you're listening to Women's Spaces. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Diva Marie Proto.
Good morning.
Diva, I love your name. Welcome to Women's Spaces. I just love it. I love that name. I remember when I first met you and you said, my name is Diva. And I said, oh, I'm a diva too. Anyway, before we start, I would like to tell my folks, our listeners, a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Well, Diva Marie, I love that name, Proto, the newly elected Sonoma County Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Register of Voters. She is currently the Deputy Clerk Recorder and will take office on January 8, 2019, right?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Diva has been with the county for over 11 years and actually grew up in Sonoma County. While she's been with the Clerk Recorder's office, she's overseen a number of projects to increase efficiency and customer access. That includes implementing a new clerk recording system that cut back on errors and data duplication, and a new website that allows people to purchase recorded documents online instead of coming into the office. The website also includes a full Spanish translation. She is currently working on expanding the records available online and testing a system to allow people to file fictitious business name statements online. Anything else you'd like to add, Diva?
No, I think that pretty well covers it.
So you're a longtime Sonoma County resident.
Yes, grew up in Forestville and JC, Sonoma State.
What did you get your degree in at Sonoma State? Just curious.
Communications and political science.
Yeah, I'm also a Sonoma State graduate. Uh-huh. I graduated in sociology in 1975.
Well, and then I went back and got my master's from Sonoma State as well. So, and that was public administration.
Oh, my goodness. So you've been really busy. You've been a busy, busy woman. Well, congratulations. You know, congratulations. And before we begin and talk about the voting, talk a little bit about, you know, the election and what motivated you to run. And you know, like I always ask the women that come on to the show is, where did you get your confidence? I mean, it was a lot of hard work because you had some heavy-duty competition.
Yes, indeed.
You know, it wasn't like you just threw your towel in and that was it. You know, you really had to work. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, I hadn't originally, when I joined the department, I had no intention of becoming an elected official. It was really the support of other managers in the office and the staff that were encouraging me to step out. And I thought about it for a while and I said, you know what, I think I can go ahead and do it. If it doesn't work, I still love the department. I love my current job. So there wasn't really a downside to it. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you were running against a man. Mm-hmm. And so were there any challenges specifically towards you because you were a woman? I mean, did you feel any kind of extra work that you had to do?
No, I don't think so. I think it was more about, you know, what we had done in the office and our experience and everything like that. I felt more than woman versus man.
So how did that work out for you? Now you had the election, mm-hmm. you know, he lost. You're still working together, I
yes.
assume.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky. There's actually two men from the office that we all ran against each other. And they're both still in the office. They're both great guys. And I think we're going to work very well together. So we do work currently.
Well,
I think
that's a statement also about you. I mean, we have to come together. You know, it's mm-hmm. over. And so, again, congratulations. Well, talk a little bit about the election coming up. I mean, there's so many things that people need to know. So talk about, you know, one of the things, the first thing I want to address, because I work the polls mm-hmm. and I want to make sure that we get a clear picture for our listeners. It's very important that you mail in those absentee votes.
Yes, okay. As soon as possible, please.
Right. Now, once they're, if you go to the polls and drop it in the box, mm-hmm. my understanding is, although there is an attempt to vote, to count those votes, they could be counted within a 30-day period.
We have 30 days to certify the election. Any vote-by-mail ballot that gets dropped off at the polls on Election Day will not be counted until after Election Day. We will absolutely count it, but we will not have those results on election night because all of those have to be signature checked. We have to do the verification process. And on Election Day, it's all hands on deck. Everybody is supporting the people who are coming to the polls. And there's not any time to do signature checking and running those envelopes through.
So that's the issue. There's mm-hmm. a process that they
yes.
have to go through, and you need time to go through that process before you can count the vote.
Yes.
So I want folks to hear that, you know, that there's a chance, most likely, when you drop that absentee vote off, it may not be voted. It will not be counted.
For the results that night.
And yes. so that's important because what if all of a sudden, this is a kind of a bizarre question since we're talking about it. Okay, so let's say candidate X, he wins or she wins. Now, all of a sudden, you do the third, you vote, you know, mm-hmm. they declare winner. Okay, they make the declaration. Then all of a sudden, you vote the absentees and the other person won. What happens?
The election isn't certified for 30 days. So even though people are calling it election night, we're always very clear that those are not the final election results. People will usually call it on the percentages because statistically speaking, unless it's really close, it's going to be difficult to flip a vote. But the election night results are, you know, the first pass at it. Our current election system, which we'll be replacing, is very old. And so we will only have the election night results and then we'll have the certified results in hopefully sooner than 30 days. But it things absolutely could change.
So if someone calls and says, you know, concedes, but then all of a sudden they won, actually they would be the winner then?
We wouldn't do anything with the conceding part of it, but the election results would be certified with whoever won the vote.
But so, if someone declared it, would that change all of a sudden, or how does that
I don't
work?
I don't think the declaring or conceding really has much to do with it.
Okay,
in terms of the legality of the election.
So then, but, folks, the most important thing is get those absentee ballots in as soon as possible.
Yes, and then we can post those results on election night, and we'll just know have better information on election night.
And I want folks to also know, I write for the Santa Rosa, the Sonoma County Gazette, and I write a thing called Santa Rosa Snippets. And in the snippets, I actually talk about that. I actually say that. So I feel it's been verified. You know, I've tried to verify it with you several times, and now that we've got it over the air, get those absentee ballots in. In fact, Ken, when we go home, we're going to vote. We got to get it in quick.
And make sure you sign those vote by mail ballots.
Sign them. That's right. And you know, one of the things, you know, a lot of times, one of the things that I heard at the polls was people were paranoid that maybe if they mailed in the ballot, it wouldn't happen. You know, well, all you have to do is go down to your voter registration office and drop it off, and mm-hmm. you know, you'll give it to a live person if you're concerned about it. I mean, you have to trust the mail. But if you don't trust the mail, go down to your voter registration. What's the address where they can
our office? Is it, oh dear, I'm used to saying the other office. I think it's 435 Fiscal Drive.
Right, 435 Fiscal Drive. It's the voter registration mm-hmm. office, and it's very, very important. Well,
we also have drop boxes at the Petaluma Veterans Building and the Santa Rosa Veterans Building.
Okay, so there's drop boxes at mm-hmm. the Santa Rosa and the Petaluma Veterans. So there's two, you can mail it or drop it. You don't have to have a stamp when you drop it, do you?
No, when you drop it, it's we come and pick it up.
Yeah, so there's three alternatives. The mail. Oh, well, there's actually four. There's Petaluma, Santa Rosa Veterans. There's also the post office mm-hmm. and to come into the office and drop it off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Now we have some clarity. No excuses. I don't want to hear any excuses. Well, you talk about a new system you're trying to come in. Can you explain that a little bit? And also one of the, just to let my listeners know, I always ask my guests for five questions so I know what is really important for them to talk about. And one of the things that you mentioned is about paper ballots. Are we still going to have, what is the new system and are we still going to have paper ballots?
We will absolutely have paper ballots. The new system is going to be coming in 2019. We went through a request for proposal process. We vetted different systems that were in the market, and we made a selection. The Board of Supervisors has approved it. And we are, as soon as this election is wrapped up, we're going to start working on the implementation process for the new system. It will allow us to do periodic vote updates. So instead of having the just election night results and then the certification results 30 days later, we'll be able to do maybe weekly updates. What all the ballots that we've processed since then, you know, we can just add them to the totals. The ballots will look different. Our current ballots are because of our system of the readers. That's why our ballots look the way they do. If you see ballots from other counties, sometimes they're large, one sheet of paper. Everybody has kind of different ballots.
That.
And so ours will, next year, starting in 2019 and absolutely in 2020, we will have different looking ballots, not those kind of Scantron cards we're used to. So.
Well, how is it going to, are we still going to market the same way or is it?
Yes, we'll be doing a lot of public education, maybe a mock election, you know, maybe some demonstrations so that people get to see them before the big elections.
How do you feel that's going to help as far as people? Is it going to make it easier for them? Is it less complicated?
Hopefully it'll make it easier for people. It'll make it a lot easier to get results back because of the enhancements of the software that we're using to process them when they come back. So we'll be able to there's a lot of manual processes that we have right now because of our system, a lot of limitations. That's why we can only post first results and last results. It's just it's time intensive because the system is so old. And this new system will have the same securities. It's not connected to the internet. It's still paper ballot. And we'll be able to process things faster and hopefully easier.
You know, I have to say this. I have more trust in the paper ballot than I do in these machines, especially when you watch even in our voting, we only had one machine, and that was for disabled. Mm-hmm. But even in that was very complicated. I mean, it felt like when someone walked in and you gave them a paper ballot, it was much more pleasant and much easier than sitting in front of those different machines.
And we will still have machines. We're required to by law for disabled access. One of the nice things about the new system is they will print out a paper ballot. You know, you always hear on the news that people are saying that the machines are changing their votes or something. The machines that we're going to have will print out a paper ballot based on the selections. People can review that to make sure that the information is correct. And that paper ballot is what's going to be tallied, not the machine results.
Oh, that's amazing. That really is amazing. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of the segment. Time goes by really quickly, but I have a real curiosity. I mean, a real curiosity. Okay. Because, like I said, I worked the polls, so I kind of have all this education. So at the polls, I mean, folks, you got to realize certification, I mean, it is so rigid the way we count, the way we make sure everything is proper and gets in. And it's in a locked box. We don't open it. We don't touch it until after the election. Then we do a certain process. But what happens when it goes to you? I mean, I always imagine there's this back room where all these people are counting. I mean, how does it happen? How do you decide and how do you count?
It's pretty crazy on election night. We do have a room that is available for people can come in and view the ballots being counted.
Oh, really?
Yes. We used to have a lot of people come in when before the internet was really popular, and they would get their results there. And then they'd call them in. Now with the internet, you know, we don't have a lot of people watching on election night. But the windows are there for anybody who wants to come see. And the ballots will come in. The poll workers, as you said you were, will bring the ballots into the office. They can never be alone with anybody. They have to be brought over in groups. So they're never alone. They go into the office. We check the paperwork to make sure we're getting the right number of ballots, that everything's been reconciled properly.
And I want folks to know that I was in a situation where we counted it three times because we had three different things, and we finally all got the one number. So it was a very intense process.
Yes, and people double check and make sure they have the correct numbers, and then those ballots are taken into the counting room. They go through the machines. They're separated by precinct, so. They're being counted for each area, and those results are posted every once in a while. Once we get to a good stopping point, if there's a break, or if it hasn't been a while before we posted results, and we could be posting up, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember working the November 2016 election, and I think I got home about 4:30 in the morning, so it was a very long night.
But. So you do count, you do manage to count all the votes up, even though you have to stay till 4 or 5 in the morning until that you stay and until they're all counted.
I guess
that's the protocol.
Yes, we count all the vote by mails that have come in and been validated prior to Election Day and everything that was cast on Election Day.
Well, we've just come to the end of our segment. Is there a website or anything you'd like to share real quickly?
No, you can go to Sonoma County Registrar of Voters, and if you have any questions on the elections, you can give us a call.
Well, thank you so much, Diva Marie Partey, for being on Women's Spaces. And again, congratulations on a fair election and a wonderful election. I mean, I observed it, and I just thought it was amazing. So congratulations, and thank you so much for coming in and sharing all that.
Thank you.
Well, special thank you to mother and daughter team Robin Latham and her daughter Erin Latham Ponick. And a reminder, there's a march happening November 3rd in downtown Sonoma County and downtown Santa Rosa at Courthouse Square. A special thank you to our newly elected Sonoma County Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Register of Voters, Diva Marie Proto, for giving us all this good information and insights about voting. Remember, if you don't, your vote doesn't count if you don't vote. So make sure that you not only vote, but if you have absentee ballots, get them into the mail as soon as possible. And I will remind you next week again of all the drop-off places. And you can also go to Women's Spaces and we'll have all the information. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to being with you the next time. Is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 29th, 2018.